Good. Good morning. How is everybody? Good? Amen. Why don't we pray and then we'll look into this together, okay? Father, what a beautiful morning you've given us, Lord. As the psalmist said, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, your name is to be praised. And we, this gathering, we want to be among those people who are praising your great and glorious name. Thank you for our Savior, in whom we have life. We have full access to you. We come to you today. Teach us, encourage us, sanctify us in your truth, that we would love what is right, we would pursue what is God-centered, and we would walk with you. Bless your people. Minister to us, Lord Jesus. We look to you. Amen. Well, this is class number 7, and we had slightly changed the sequence of classes this time and felt like towards the end we would really give instruction or give biblical kind of teaching on the church. And of course, Mac last week in session number 6 gave more of a biblical overview of the New Testament church. And there was a series of questions. I didn't know his outline. So when I laughingly said when I walked in, I wanted to be under the teaching as well. I always need that. We all do. But Mac had gone through a series of questions towards the second half, and he would say, what is your view of, or how do you view? And I think about question 5 or 6 was, how do you view church leadership? And particularly the view towards elders, pastors, and deacons. And he gave a little bit of teaching on that, just a quick reference to that, and then obviously begin to apply the connection of the body, how we're interconnected and how we build each other up, encourage, serve, love, pray for one another, all those things he was touching on. But I want to come back and we'll finish. We felt like today on our kind of our final teaching session, we would zero in more specifically on the responsibility of elders, shepherds to the flock, and the responsibilities of the flock to the shepherds. And this just gets right down to how elders function and how the flock views each other, but certainly how they view leadership and what that means within the structure of Christ's church. So this is unique in that we've not spent this much time on this topic, but as we've done in the past, I would like to go through a portion of it. We'll take a pause, take questions, comments, and then we'll continue on. So we're going to look at it in two ways. What are the responsibilities of shepherds, elders, over the flock? And then what are the responsibilities of the flock to the shepherds? So those are the two categories today. And again, don't feel like you have to take notes. I'm more than happy to share my notes with all of you. It could be helpful. I want you just to listen. Listen to this passage out of Jeremiah, which is speaking still in the language of Israel, right? The children of Israel. But it's really looking ahead ultimately to the New Testament church. This is Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15, a couple other times he refers to pastors. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So that's almost a theme verse for this truth that comes to reality powerfully, gloriously in the New Testament church, which we begin to get into after the ascension of the Lord Jesus in the beginning of the book of Acts, and then through the epistles and through the ages up to today as we gather as a people. The office of the elder is God's design, right? It's not something men came up with. Men came up with the Constitution of the United States, right? But men didn't come up with the office of elder or deacon. It's in God's Word. It's according to the Scriptures. And it is His plan for His church. And we see this, as I said, in the book of Acts. You'll see the word elder that begins in the book of Acts. It continues throughout Paul's epistles. And then it comes to very much a forefront in the pastorals, which are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, where Paul gets specific instructions to what an elder should be, how he should be qualified, right? Numerous qualifications for an elder. It's not like picking CEOs or somebody to manage a bank or somebody to run the Boy Scouts. You know what I'm saying? It is a clear office in the New Testament that God has appointed, and he has certain criteria or certain qualifications. I'm not going to spend time on that, but you all know that, that it's grounded in those key passages in Timothy and Titus. But the key truth to get hold of is the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the chief shepherd over us, right? He's the chief shepherd over all of us. No pastor ever, it's not his church. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's church. It is his flock, and he keeps it. He nourishes us, all of us. He guides us. He leads us. He cares for us. And a part of the way, one of the key parts of how he does this is he establishes or appoints under-shepherds who care for the people and help bring them along. That's the picture. That's what Jeremiah was talking about. The pastors, which, as we said last week, the key word is elders, but they are pastoring. It's a verb. It's the activity. It's what they're doing. They pastor God's people. But Jesus Christ, ultimately, in it and over it, is doing that. And I'll come back to some personal realities of how this hit me and really changed my whole view of the Christian life years ago. The reality of Christ, but his under-shepherds. So it is biblical. It is very serious, meaning it's important. And it's a great blessing, elders, as well as deacons. But elders, particularly in their role as under-shepherds. I've had faithful elders over me through the years, and I know what that means. You know, as I think Mac had said in one of these classes, we shepherd each other. We help each other. We sharpen each other. We encourage each other. We teach to each other. So, but I'm talking about in my Christian life, in God's tender mercy in my life, I've had shepherds over my own life, and they have so ministered to me beyond what I could even articulate in this time. It's Christ. That's who it is in them. Because they're not perfect men, none of them. But they're vessels that are used of Christ. So those are important foundational truths to remind us all about. So let me start with the responsibilities of the elders to the flock. The elders' responsibility back to the flock, and I have seven of these. So I'll hit them, and then we'll take a break. We'll take a short break, and you can ask questions. And then we'll look at how did the flock respond back to the elders. Okay, let's go to Acts 20:28. I want you to be able to read this because it's such an important text to draw out of. Probably many of you will be in ESV or NASB, one of those, but we'll look at a couple of the differences in the words. I'm going to be reading down to King James. This is Paul being with the Ephesian elders when he was with them, and the last time he was with the Ephesian elders, and they were with him, and he was instructing them. He's giving them preparation for his departure, knowing he would never see him again. And so in the course of his instructions to him, he gets down to verse 28, and he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." We'll stop there. So, just in this one text, there's several things that Paul is giving in instruction to elders. Right then and there with those men from Ephesus and through the ages, Spurgeon, John Wesley, any man of any time period who is in a shepherding pastoral role is accountable, is bound in a holy way to these truths, these commands, these directives that are given to us. So first, the first truth, the responsibility of elders to the flock is, the King James uses the phrase, "Take heed, therefore, to yourselves," your own life, "and to all the flock." It says in the ESV, doesn't it? Pay careful attention to. So that's how it renders it, right? Take heed, watch, look after. So pay careful attention to all the flock. The prevailing thrust of this is, are the sheep doing okay? Look after them. Are they okay? You children, listen to this because you think about your parents. There's a picture of like this, that your parents are to be looking after you. Come on in. So the prevailing thought, are the sheep, are God's sheep doing okay? Take heed, pay careful attention to the flock, all the flock. Elders are to be looking out for the good and the growth of God's people. Hi, brother, sister.
Hi there.
They are to help bring you along. Pay attention. Are you doing okay? Are there struggles? Are there difficulties? It's limitless what those issues may be, right? But the shepherds, and of course we're talking about plurality. Mac went over that last week. More than one. One man trying to shepherd 200 or 2,000 just doesn't work, right? How can you take heed to the sheep when you have that kind of numbers? But the thought here is, are the sheep okay? Are they being cared for? So elders look out for their good and their growth. When we have our times, Mac and Lee and I, when we're together weekly and have our times, we're constantly talking about how the sheep doing, how the brethren doing, how's the brother doing, how the sister's doing, where are their needs. It could be needs physical needs to help, financial needs, emotional needs. And that's a part of it. I remember one time not long ago, Michelle came into Panera Bread. Is that where we were? And she had Juliana. It was the quietest I'd ever seen Juliana, ever. Remember that? It's like, is this the same child? But anyway, and I remember thinking that Michelle was probably thinking, I wonder how they talk about things and what they share. We talk about the things of God and we talk about the care of the sheep. We don't talk about baseball scores and investments. We talk about the care of his flock. So when you're talking about pay a careful attention to, it's not about meddling. It's about monitoring. There's a big difference, right? There would never be an attempt to meddle with people, to be into things in their life that are very personal and very unique to their household. But it's about monitoring how are they doing, taking heed. Obviously, he started by saying, take heed to ourselves. Pastor, elder, they need to make sure their own life is constantly being carefully monitored morally and spiritually and in all ways, that they're taking heed to themselves. They're paying attention to their own life. But this particularly that I'm talking about is about paying attention to the brethren. It means that there should be careful examination. I don't mean that word in the wrong way. Careful oversight that people are stable and healthy. That makes sense? That they're stable, that they're healthy, that they have access to the elders, that they have access to different times and seasons that they're going through, that they can have those needs being helped and being ministered to. So a lot of these descriptions or these commands, you can picture shepherds watching how the sheep are advancing. Where are they? They're getting close to the edge of a bluff. Are they coming into an area that there may be wild animals? I mean, Paul says right after this, for I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in. We've had times, some of the different times and seasons, where we've had somebody show up in our meeting that we didn't really know. And I think I'm always on red alert. I wonder where they're coming from. One time we had a guy, this one was still meeting in the home, and we had a guy that came in and he was very talkative. And at the lunch table, I remember thinking, I think he could stir up some problems. So I asked him a question. He didn't like the nature of the question. I said, well, it's an important question. And I was trying to intercept him because I was concerned about what he might do to the sheep. So, again, that's just trying to pay careful attention to, just like I would, by God's grace, as a dad or a mom, right? You're paying careful attention to your children. So that's the first one. I have to move on. Number two, he says to oversee all the flock. Let me put in brackets, all the flock. That means all that are a part of the assembly. Brothers, sisters, and even you young people. There's a certain connection we want to have to you as young people so that we can speak into your lives. When it says all the flock, it means to really try to be cognizant of all of the sheep. Second one, to oversee all the flock. So what's the prevailing thought here? Are the sheep progressing? First, are they doing okay? What's the condition? To look after them, pay care. To oversee is, are the sheep progressing along? Are they moving in a good direction overall? As overseers is the language here. It's the language in the ESV. Are they advancing in a good way together and at the individual level? And then again, this has the picture of a watchman, somebody looking out. And then Jeremiah, Ezekiel, I believe they're the two that are known for that term. But it's, Jeremiah used it multiple times, that there's a picture of a watchman. In fact, Jeremiah uses it in a negative way. All of a sudden, the watchmen aren't doing their job. They're not looking after the sheep. So to be an overseer is to be on guard. Brother, you know a little bit about that. Somebody's got to be looking after things. Because there's danger out there. And there's things that can trouble the brethren, stumble the brethren, confuse them, hurt them, deceive them. My goodness. The things that fly around in our society and the debate for what's right and wrong and truth versus lies, all that. So being a watchman or to oversee is, are the sheep progressing individually and as a whole? And there's sometimes that, well, all the time we feel inadequate. All the time. That's why it's such a joy and a peace to know the Lord Jesus Christ is His shepherd, His sheep. You're His people. My wife is His. He's purchased her. I love her and I want to give my life for her in all ways, but He loves her with an everlasting love. That gives the greatest peace. But there's times where Mac and Lee and I, we feel spread very thin. We feel like one guy's trying to watch and the other guy said, well, wait a minute, look over here. And so the watchman reality is felt, and you should feel it in a good way when we check on you and ask you and pursue you. So the overseer brings them along. Good morning. The overseer, this is a picture, bring him along just like a shepherd brings the sheep along to where they're headed, to their point of safety, to the point of feeding, to the point of rest. And it, you know, an overseer can't be distracted by a lot of other things. So I think Paul is clearly emphasizing a bigger truth here with the Ephesian elders. So that's the second one. First is to pay careful attention to all the flock. The second is to be an overseer or to shepherd them, bring them along, all the flock. Number three, to feed the church of God. Right there in the kind of the middle of verse 28, we're in Acts 20, 28. To feed the church of God. Now this is in the ESV says care for, doesn't it? Care for. A lot of these are overlapping, right? Very similar. But the King James says feeding and the ESV says care for. So the prevailing thought here probably is it's about feeding. It's about the nourishment of the saints. Feeding them. Giving them truth. And making sure they get the right truth. And the right food and the right spiritual nourishment. And so you should be, if you will, taking in a certain diet under how the elders teach and preach. Right? There should be a continued giving forth of spiritual nourishment. I know firsthand the reality of this when God brought me to men in the mid-80s and the late-80s, and they began to do that for me. And it transformed my Christian life. And I'd never had a pastor's like that. I'd had a faithful man of God in my childhood, in my young teen years, that had loved me and taught me the gospel and helped me. But I'm talking about a different dynamic of pastoring and shepherding to feed me. The first year I was around Mac and other men, I didn't even know there were books and things out there to help me so much. I mean, I would read the Bible. A.W. Tozer, who is A.W. Tozer? Yeah, I think I've heard of Spurgeon. I mean, I grew up in a Baptistic background. Spurgeon, yeah, I think so. Jonathan Edwards, oh yeah, I've heard of Jonathan Edwards. Have I ever read anything? Nothing. Who is Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones? And on. And so it was like the Lord pulled the veil back and began to feed me through men and through the things that they helped me to read. And it's just such a blessing to think back on it. So are the sheep being fed? How are you fed? What is it we have to offer you? God's Word, right? That's what it's about. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You remember that text? So the shepherds, the elders, are studying God's Word. Piper put it this way. I heard it on tape years ago. He was starting in Hebrews 1. And he said, I give myself to study God, to study His Word, so that if I study God and to know Him, then I can show Him to others. I can bring them to these truths. Now, that's a pretty powerful way of putting it. to know God and to help show God to others. So feeding the church of God is about giving you nourishment from the Scriptures. We see in the book of Acts that those apostles, they were to give themselves to the Word of God in prayer, right? Continuing to give themselves to the Word of God. We are to feed the sheep through preaching and teaching. Not stories and clever things. Stories and illustrations can help emphasize a point, but they're not what carries the teaching and preaching. It's the Word of God. It's the God's truth. Mac feels this. Lee feels it. Certainly, I feel it. The responsibility to properly and in an honorable way to the Scriptures teach the Word of God to His people. It's one of the biggest things we give ourselves to, right? Is to help you, give you the truth. And sometimes you'll ask questions, and I'll go, I'm going to have to look into that more. I'm going to have to spend more time on that. But it's important that in the day-to-day preaching and teaching that the shepherds are about it. They're locked in, if you want to put it that way. They're faithful to it. And this is feeding that is both in the corporate setting and in the personal times, right? Corporate setting is what? Preaching and teaching, just like this. That you're being instructed and fed and nourished. But there's personal times, what I call right there across the table. This young guy over here, won't name any names since this is on tape, this young guy right here that I had the joy of meeting in 1999 or 2000, early 2000, I think we concluded. When I met him and when that friendship began to blossom, so much of it was in the things of truth, right? The things of God, the great doctrines, biblical theology, the gospel, who Christ is, what is the church, and then that would spin into other wonderful books and all. But that began in this aspect of teaching or preaching, just in helping him along and helping his life and his close friend. So it was about teaching at the very personal level. That was very personal through those early months in those first couple of years. So it is corporate. The shepherds are feeding at the corporate level, and the shepherds are feeding at the personal level. I used to instruct my children, the ones that are grown, I used to instruct them all together, right? But then I would deal with them one-on-one. You deal with them. Brother David knows just a little bit about that, I'm sure. It's that personal instructing and helping bring the sheep along. And what Brother Matt can give is different in terms of uniquenesses of gifting and wisdom and years of learning and God's grace in his life. It's different than what Lee or Philip or Charles Lighter. Each of us have different strengths and different weaknesses. So, but the primary thrust is we're to be about feeding. Go back to Acts 20 and look up to Acts 20:20. I want to keep moving. Number four, look at verse 20. And I want to drop this in because it does shape our view of pastoral ministry. And I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Okay? Publicly and from house to house. Item four in my list is that elders, shepherds, should teach the saints, should teach the flock from house to house. So what's the prevailing thought here? Are the sheep being visited right where they are? Now, y'all know this because you have to deal with calendar stuff all the time. Oh, boy, Brother Lee's called, Phillip's called, Max's emailed. So we make it a priority to go house to house. That makes sense? You wouldn't believe how many people in the first year they're in the church will say to us, we've never ever had anybody do this from house to house. So we believe that pastoral ministry is from house to house. To visit the saints, to come where you are. It puts us in your environment. And I'm not being in everybody's home yet, but I'm aiming to. I'm not sure that any of the elders have been in every single person's home. I could be wrong. Lee and Mac have been wonderful in their diligence to do that, and I'm trying to catch up too. But the prevailing thought here is ministering right where you are and being with you. This is pastoral ministry at the very, very personal, inside your world level. I was with Tom and Kathy Allison this past week. And it was just wonderful. I mean, they were ready. They opened that door. We sat at that kitchen table. We didn't run out of anything to talk on. It's just very, very precious to get to do that. Because in your own home, if I can put it this way, we're more ourselves. We're just in our own environment, right? And it means where we're hurting and struggling and where we... just the personality, the culture of our homes. So we want to come in and be with you like that from house to house. Years ago, MacArthur and those men were doing their pastor shepherd conferences, and I got to go one time. And MacArthur came that night and he preached. And then the next day he was there for one of the sessions. So I went up to the microphone and I asked him. I said, John, I said, I just got through reading Richard Baxter's The Reformed Pastor, and I was so stirred and helped by his house-to-house pastoral love for the sheep. How do y'all do that at Grace Community Church in California? And he said, well, you got to remember that was a different time. But he said, we have 54 elders or whatever he said, and we try to shepherd in home groups and individual settings. He gave an answer, but it was where I was going was, how do churches today, busy, spread out, we've got people all over the place, how do we deal with the house-to-house? We just try to make it a priority. We distribute the entire names of the families of the church every month, and we try to assign them to us as the elders to go see you and be with you. So hopefully by saying this, it reinforces to you and on your heart that we want to make the most of that. That's what Paul said. He said, I taught you publicly and from house to house. So we do take it very seriously, and we want to be able to be faithful in it. Every week we are dealing with struggles and problems and sorrows and decisions. Every single week you'd be blown away. I could say, just throw the dart in the calendar, and starting on that week, somebody says, July 9th, okay? From July 9th to this day, I can promise you every single week since July 9th, Mac, Philip, Lee are dealing and helping with the sheep at certain things that they're going through. It's just the way it is. And the more sheep there are, the more needs there are. And I'm not implying we're just trying to go around and fix things. We're trying to minister gospel truth and love and help. So there are struggles. That's why the house-to-house ministry is so important. Now, children, listen to this. Not only do we get to interact with the parents, we also get to be with the children. So it's my one way of saying, you kids or you young people, when we do come, try to be in on it if you can. I've been teasing the Randalls here that I'm eager to come because the boys always apparently get to ask one question each. So I'm sure I'm going to get stumped three times, but I'm coming. I'm ready to do it. And one time I took a children's book to one of the families. All the kids, you know, loved reading. And I said, all right, next time I'm coming, I'm bringing my favorite children's book I used to read to my four grown kids. Promise you, if we had wired in my four grown kids and they would have been looking in on their handheld, they would have said, oh, no, here goes Dad, that same book. And I told him about it, and I could tell he wanted me, so I brought it. I sat on the floor with him and read it to him. So it was precious because shepherds and pastors should be they're just men, redeemed men that need grace, right? And so children, you should be able to see us that way. Yes, we have a heavy responsibility, but we shouldn't be stiff and distant. So it was special to get to be with the children in that kind of a setting. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter 5. I've made it through 4, and I'm not being real time efficient, so y'all hang on. I'll move through these more quickly. 1 Peter 5, I'll read 1 through 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's his instruction. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Three things I want to draw out of this, beloved. Number 5 in our list is to shepherd the flock of God. Now, I've been saying that in numerous ways. It says in the King James to feed. The ESV uses the word shepherd, doesn't it? To shepherd the flock of God. Peter is saying, you as elders, just like myself, I'm one too, shepherd, take care of, nourish, guide the flock of God. It's more than just teaching. It's like parenting. You boys, is all mom and dad ever do? All they ever do is just teach you stuff. Do this, do that. Don't do this. They do more than that, don't they? Do they ever laugh with you? Shelby, has your dad and mom ever done anything else? Yeah, we're just going to teach you. We're just going to teach you. No. You think about that. The silly things that we do as dads, you know, and meaning we instruct and love and help our children, and more than just listen to me, Jeff, I want to teach you today. It's more than that. To shepherd the flock of God is the whole of pastoral ministry. Yes, it's feeding and teaching. But the men's times when we're together are dynamic because they're sharing and questions and thoughts. And so there's different ways to shepherd God's people. It's not just to feed them and teach them. That's the biggest. But it happens in multiple ways. Could we go to a Ranger baseball game together and shepherd and love and enjoy it? Yes, we could grow in grace together doing that. It can be in various settings, having a meal together, having a fellowship. We went, before Lee was ever an elder, we went caroling one year before Christmas. We just took some of the great gospel Advent hymns and we went to some of the homes and we would just sing and we laughed. We were together with families and children. And there is a form of pastoral ministry in that, but it was about being shepherding in a more of a comprehensive way. Elders obviously need to know where your worries are, what your needs are, and what your danger areas are. And by shepherding, they're trying to be aware of that. Mac or Lee may know that there's something going on, so they bring me in on it. We need to pray about this, need to help on this, perhaps. So because you, just like me, just like my wife, just like any other Christian, we are all subject to injury, meaning spiritual blows, and to doubt and to discouragement. Now, I know nobody in this room ever gets discouraged, right? So great to know everybody in our church has never, ever battles that. Baloney. Paul didn't use that word, but I'll use it. Discouragement. I mean, if you're going to shepherd the flock of God, they deal with discouragement. That's countless areas too, right? So the elders have to shepherd them in it. And out of it, in a sense, Jesus Christ is the one doing it for all of us. But if we're servants to help you in that struggle and out of it, praise be to God. Brother Leiter said years ago, you have to trust the work of the Holy Spirit in His people. Which means elders, yes, shepherd them, but you don't have to fix them. You're not the one that brought them into Christ Jesus, and you're not the one that will bring them ultimately to glory. You will help them along the way. That helped me. That was before I was ever in a place of an elder. Trust the work of the Holy Spirit in His people. Number six, take the oversight begrudgingly. Oh, man. Dave, this is so boring and dull. No. It says take the oversight willingly. Elders are to be shepherds willingly. I put in my notes wholeheartedly. Right? You see these coaches. They're fanatics with their teams, right? Should they have more zeal or energy for those team players than the shepherds have for the sheep? Hardly. It says that an elder should have a willing heart. He is to have a heart for the sheep, has tender care. One of my favorite pictures of this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Remember how Paul said, when I was among you, I was, anybody remember this? I was tender as a nursing mother. Go back to 1 Thess chapter 2. You'll love it. And then he says, just a few verses later, he said, I was also like a father, and then I charged you. A mother cares for the young ones tenderly. Paul said that's how he was, and that's how shepherds should be. And yet he also said there was times when I said to the sheep, don't do that. Stay away from that. Be careful. Guard yourself. Come away from the edge. Brothers, get out of that mess and come into this to the truth. So there's a balance there. But elders have to have a heart for the sheep. Not out of duty. Jeff, would you say that? We'll laugh about that later. Duty. Out of duty. You mean not out of, oh, I got to do. But out of a joyful heart, and they're not to do it for financial gain. Whew, boy, that takes a lot of men out of the ministry. Today and in the past 50 years, maybe the last 2,000 years, men who are in it for financial gain. How pitiful. Terrible blasphemous it is when men are using the Church of the Living God to advance themselves financially. I don't even want to chase that right now. But that's Paul saying never for that, but out of a willing heart. I said Paul, didn't I? Peter. He's talking about this reality of a willing heart. He says, but of a ready mind. At the very end of verse 2, they should be ready. They should be engaged. They should be, focused in on it. Number 7. Shepherds are to be examples to the flock. To be examples to the flock. Now that's a heavy calling right there, isn't it? As godly men, shepherds, elders, their lives should be examples to the saints on how to walk in the faith. Their lives. And that's serious business right there. We desire that. It's a little awkward today in that one of the elders has to teach on this. But I'm trying not to make it individual to me. This is truth for all of Christianity. This truth would speak today in England or Canada or South America. That elders, shepherds, wherever they are to be examples to the flock. This is lofty. But Jesus Christ builds His men to be a pattern to emulate. As they follow Jesus Christ, you follow them in following Jesus Christ, right? He's the true hero. We said this last week. Daniel was a godly man, but he was focused on his God and his Messiah, ultimately, that was yet to come. He probably saw in the burning furnace the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. But the point is, Christ is who we're following, and if shepherds are following Him, then you follow them as they're running after Him, pursuing Him. So they're to be examples. And he puts it in the context of not lording it over, not bullying in a sense, right? Not as being lords over the flock, bossy, but being examples. So there's interesting how Peter puts the contrast here. Don't be big shot, big CEO kind of. Be a man of God. Walk in a way that you're an example to the flock. And you know what? This kind of takes us in a full circle. This very truth starts by putting men in the office of eldership that are qualified. So you go back to 1 Timothy and to Titus, and the qualifications for elders are so good and so comprehensive, right? Who they are in themselves. You know, I preached through 1 Timothy a few years back, so I did a couple sermons just in this area, but there's multiple qualifications who they are in their own holiness, their own life. And then it talks about how they relate to others. They have to have a good reputation outside. And so this thing of being examples to the flock is powerful. And even clearly taught of Peter and of Paul in their own ways. And they lived it. They were not just men talking about it. They lived it. I always find it fascinating to hear of men who teach in seminaries for years and years and years and teach truths like this and never did pastor. Or men who teach on parenting, they've never had a son or a daughter. Instead, you don't even hear that very often, but sometimes you just go, well, wait a minute here. You want to be examples because you're living it. You're walking in it, right? All right, let me pause. Those 7 areas, shepherds, elders to the flock, their responsibilities, questions or thoughts? Well, hang on to them if you do. I'm more than happy at the end. We'll try to have some time as well. Time check over there, Brother Eric or somebody. Brian, what's the clock say? There's some glare on it. 10:17. Okay. Well, that's the shepherds loving God's people. What's your responsibility? What's every Christian's responsibility in how they view leaders, or in this case, an elder, a pastor, who is to look out for them, feed them, help them? How should you view that? How seriously should you take that? Well, I have 5 areas. And obviously some of these are going to be very much the flip side of what the elders are to be doing and what you're to be gaining, or how you should view what they're doing for you. Number 1, realize that the Lord has ordained elders to feed you, to nourish you. Acts 20:28, which we've already looked at, feed the church of God. Nourish them. That's so all sheep need to have a heart and a mindset that I need to be nourished. I need to be helped along. It's not about me getting ordering CDs and DVDs and doing it through technology. I need a real shepherd in my life helping me along, teaching me. Mac, I think, dealt with this one time at the fellowship conference. I sat down back there and I nearly yelled a couple times. I was excited about what he was speaking on. Realize the shepherds are to feed you. You got to be there to be fed. You got to be a part of it. Elders are there to nourish your soul. They are to feed you God's word. It's tangible. It's real. It's a part of growing in grace. It's a part of learning more of the truths of the faith, being built up, being rightly grounded in areas that could be controversial. So we've gone through seven classes. In some ways, we could have started with this and said, now then, get ready, because we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God and the glory of God. And we're going to talk about the doctrines of grace. And we're going to talk about these glorious truths. But you understand what I'm saying, that you have to have a proper view of wanting to be fed. So be hungry. Don't ever not be hungry. Be hungry to be fed. I love to be preached to. And through the years, you know, I've obviously heard Mac preach more sermons than any other man I've heard preach. Isn't that something? But he feeds me. I try to take that in. I try to come with a ready, hungry heart, you know, ready to feast. Because ultimately, we're not looking to the man, right? We're saying, Lord, give me your truth. Feed me your word. You've heard that story, Spurgeon said. Lady came, visited, came back a month later. Anyway, she finally got to see Mr. Spurgeon, said, Mr. Spurgeon, last month when I was here, it was unbelievable. It was wonderful. God fed me. I had such help. This time I came, it just didn't help me much. And she said, ma'am, the first time you came looking to God, you wanted Him to feed you. You came this time looking for a man to feed you. Look to God. He's the one who feeds you. Come hungry. Get what will strengthen you and bring you along in spiritual growth. I think, what is it Brother Merle used to say? When God gives you your chunk, your nugget, get that thing. Chew on it. Hang on to it. Sometimes in a sermon, I know sometimes I go too long. Sometimes I think I just wore them out. But if you get one key thing or two key things, take it, hide it in your heart, meditate on it. Let God make it real to you. Make it glorious to you. Get what will strengthen you. Come hungry. Don't be finicky or picky. Oh, Mom's cooked all that food. I only want that right there. Jesse and Michaela, I can pick on them a little bit. They're not here. They're just pretty finicky at times. And you don't want to come to be taught and to be fed and have a picky spirit. Be good Bereans, right? Search the Scriptures. You want to make sure that Philip Mack Lee or anybody you're sitting under is true to the Scriptures. You're accountable there. Make sure that, obviously, to test those things. But come hungry. Be ready to feast. Sometimes when we're at a conference, I can see in Mac's face, he can hardly wait to hear one of those men preach. He's hungry. He's ready. And we did that, you know, a couple years ago. We went to the Banner Conference. We'd say, all right, Brother Sinclair is preaching now. Get ready. I mean, we're ready. We're hungry. Well, that doesn't mean if we hear other men, we shouldn't be hungry. So that's number one. Number two, realize the Lord has ordained elders to watch for your soul. Hebrews 13:17. Can reference that real quick in the ESV? Somebody just raise your hand if it's real handy for you. Brother or sister, anybody. Hebrews 13:17, if I said that right. Anybody have it? You got it? All right, Jeff.
Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you.
Okay. So he began, the writer of Hebrews, whoever that dear man of God was, said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And he just says, because they have to give an account. So second, realize the Lord has ordained elders to watch for your soul. They're not advancing their portfolio. They're not advancing their credentials. They're watching for the souls of men. They are Christ's people. You are Christ's people. So if an under-shepherd is to be over you, there is a real aspect of obeying, staying under them. That's what obeying, part of what obeying is. Stay under the proper biblical oversight of elders. I'm not going to tell you what car to buy or what blue jeans to buy, or you know what I'm saying. You have your liberty in Christ, but there are certain things that I have to, Mac has to, Lee has, that we have to take the oversight on. We have to. We're accountable. And you are to have a proper view of that. You shouldn't be threatened by our oversight. You should find it as a joy and a help and a protection. I love police officers because they're the arm of God. They're centurions of God. They're a terror to evil. They're not a terror to men who want to walk in a wholesome way. So I don't drive down the road worried about those guys. I periodically just wave to them. I might get me in trouble. They may think, well, what's he up to? But I'm really just trying to respect them. And I think, you know, back to the key point with elders, keep in mind they're watching for you. And so remember that watching includes guarding you from harm, encouraging you in your growth, and admonishing you in holy living. So if an elder says, brother, I think, be careful here. I think right there, there's a danger. You're at a point where that could be, or they say, I think this reading or this section of Scripture or this book, you know, could be a help to you. I said to the men last week, we were talking about how to help a brother or sister who just is feeble. We were talking about Mr. Fearing, right, in Pilgrim's Progress. And how do you help somebody that's just barely making it along? You finally just say, you know, I got to go on. You're not going to make it. No, you stay with them and you love them. And so this is a part of this watching. And I told the brothers last Sunday night, if you've never heard John Piper's biographical overview of John Newton, you need to get it and listen to it. It's stunning. Because John Newton spent years of his life helping William Cowper, who struggled with depression and discouragement all the time. And John Newton pastored him through that and helped him along. He watched for him. It may be the greatest thing I've ever heard on that particular aspect of helping the feeble. So, realize your elders are watching for your soul. Count it a privilege to be watched for. Mac and another man became, for me in 1986, the beginning of understanding what it was to have elders. There was two elders at that time in the beginning of that church. And they had a watchman motif. Not a meddling, not a power thing. They had a watchman. And so Krista and I, we would think to ourselves, we've never seen it like this. And so I realized I have to stay under that leadership. Because in my childhood, my dad was a strong authoritarian in a good way. That was not a hard concept for me to stay under authority. Then I had teachers and coaches and instructors and all that. So I think God, by His grace, taught me the principle of that. But then to come under shepherds, I mean, it's one thing to watch over a business. But what do they have to give an account for? Think of that. Elders have to give an account for the souls of men. That can be devastating sometimes when we feel so inadequate or we're not meeting the mark or you're hurting in an area and we didn't even know about it. You just feel really overwhelmed. But the point is, realize we're here to watch for you. And there's to be a certain putting yourself under, obeying, submitting. Both of those words used in the Hebrew text. Number three, realize the Lord has ordained elders as those whose faith you follow. This is similar to Paul about being examples to the flock. Go to Hebrews 13 again, verse 7. If somebody has it, John, you have it right there. Yeah. Hebrews 13, 7.
Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you, word of God, consider the outcome of your way of life and imitate their faith.
There we go. Remember those who have the rule over you, this is the King James, who have spoken unto you the word of God. What do you do with all that? Whose faith follow? I testify to you by the glory and grace of Jesus Christ that I have spent 20 plus years following the faith, the example of men who have absolutely shaped my life. That's how it happens. That's how God does it. And so some of those men are gone. Some of the men whose faith I still follow are dead now. Many of them are still alive. But some were near to me, some were far. Some were in my life often, some indirectly, in terms of how I would be with them or when I'd be with them or how I'd listen to their teaching. And their faith I followed. But in the pastoral ministry, the sheep are to remember those who are ruling over them, who speak and follow what they teach. Follow their teaching. Follow their lives. Follow what's sound. Follow what's pure and holy. Learn from their lives and their maturity in the faith. Learn from it. Ask questions. Pursue things from the elders at the right time and at the right place. I loved reading the biographies of Lloyd Jones's life because he had some of the sheep that come to him and they were their business was in a difficult way. And Brother Lloyd Jones, he didn't meddle with them, but he would listen to him and he would give a thought. How about this? Maybe God's... And sometimes they would leave his house set free. God would give them a word or an insight because their pastor just spoke into their lives and gave another angle on it. Oftentimes, with you, the men who are younger who have children, because I'm still a dad, right? I'm still fathering. But oftentimes, I'm trying to encourage the men and the women, but particularly the men, in areas of being a father. Being a husband, being a father, you want to get Philip, you start getting to the heart issue, what I feel and what I want to be. I just want to walk with God. I want you to walk with God in these areas. So much of our life is we're husbands and fathers. I mean, man, they get more practical than that. And so we want to give ourselves to you in those ways whose faith follow. Number four. Realize the Lord has ordained elders for you to provide for. To provide for. One of the brothers or sisters, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Somebody there?
Yeah.
Jonathan, read verses 17. It says 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18.
Okay. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching.
18. Go ahead, read 18.
For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages."
Amen. The Lord has ordained elders that should be cared for. This is a principle. He's not telling exactly how to do it. Paul's saying to Timothy, elders who labor in the Word of God and who are teaching and shepherding and nourishing the flock, they're to be cared for. You feed the animals, right? You don't muzzle the ox. It's got to be nourished with our animals, particularly when we had the herd of goats that Krista would milk. And you know, they had to be fed. And so they have to be taken care of and provided for. And so that's the principle here. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. And he's saying, take care of the shepherds. So, it is called here, at least in the King James, let me read it, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Then I'll skip down to verse 18. The laborer is worthy of his reward. That's the principle. What did it say again, Jonathan, in the ESV? End of 18.
The laborer deserves his wages.
It deserves his wages. Okay, so I'm not going to elaborate on this. Just get to the principle. The sheep should just understand we want to make sure that the shepherds are cared for. When our church was even smaller, there would be dynamics in that we would look at in terms of, I can say this, Mac and Linda, different needs, different things that we would always be cognizant of the needs of the shepherds and making sure that they're taken care of. And when you have plurality of eldership, there's differences in sometimes the role, but there's differences in their needs. That's obvious, right? Very much so. Because of, you know, I still have vocational work that I do. Lee does some other things, but then, of course, Mac, from when he was a very young man, has given himself totally to preaching and teaching and writing and publishing. So there's different areas of need, but the principle is make sure that the sheep or the elders are taken care of, that they're looked after. You know, I don't know, other than me preaching through 1 Timothy, I don't know in the 14 years plus of the church that we've never done a fundraiser, or we don't have any pledges, Jonathan. We're not going to do a pledge here. Okay. We might, you know, pledge ourselves further to the gospel of grace, but you know what I mean? We're not, and that language and that kind of conversation is everywhere in all kinds of denominations. And we need to be faithful to teach the proper view of money and the proper handling of money. I mean, the 1 Timothy 6, you remember that? About godliness and contentment is great gain. And then he goes on. I mean, Paul gets very specific about riches and money. And he actually says, let those charge those are rich, be not high-minded. There's godly people that have wealth. God's given it to them. They're not to be high-minded. They're not to put their confidence, it says, in uncertain riches. But they're to be ready to give, be ready to minister. That's a glorious truth. That means some Christian, God prospers them for a bigger reason. That's glorious. But back to the key point, take care of the elders. That's a key principle to think about for, as the sheep. Number five, realize the Lord has ordained elders for you to esteem very highly in love. This was the text of Charles Lyder the Sunday that he came and Conrad Merle came when Mac and Philip were installed as elders. Conrad charged the elders and Charles Lyder charged the sheep. And this was his text. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I don't know why before that Sunday I had not really, really comprehended that text. I thought, wait a minute here. How did Charles get that? Where did that verse come from? And he made his proof text. Let's back up. Who has that in one of you others? Have that in the ESV? Eric, is that handy right there? Or do you have? It's fine. Read it. This is chapter 5 of 1 Thess, verses 12 and 13.
But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their works. Live in peace with one another.
Amen. ESV, Jeff, what does it say? The beginning of verse 13, how does it read in the ESV?
It says, beginning of verse 13, mm-hmm. And to esteem them very highly in love because of their works.
It's almost exactly what the King James. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Isn't that quite a verse? Respect those who labor for you and love them. Esteem them. View them with a high regard. Again, Philip has to get beyond Philip here, and I'm dealing with the universal truths. But the sheep that have true, faithful, biblically qualified elders, the sheep should see them in a good high view, right? Not a suspect, not in a critical spirit, not, you know, picking and choosing, being finicky. I never like it when they preach out of the Old Testament. I wish they wouldn't even mess with that. You know what I'm saying? But being ready, desirous, submitted, under it, and loving them. I mean, you think, does Paul really have to say that? Yeah, he does. Esteem them very highly in love. Why? For their work's sake. For their work's sake. Because of the labor, for the calling, for the responsibility, for the load of it. Esteem them. I so have appreciated through the years the different brethren, you and others through the years, who'll say, I pray for you men often. Boy, that what an encouragement. What a help. So it says to honor them or to esteem them, reverence them, could be the word we use, who labor for you. Love them just as you are. We're not saying you don't have to send me a birthday card, Dave. You don't have to do that. Don't worry about that. But love your shepherds. Love them. Esteem them. View them as men who Jesus Christ has put in a temporary way to guard, you know, guide you, feed you, love you, encourage you. All those things. This one gets to the heart issue of it, right? You want to feel this and you want to show it. You want to express it in your own way. I'm not asking anybody to change what you're doing. it's an inward thing primarily, right? It's to esteem them, love them, pray for them. So what a great way to kind of wrap that truth into this responsibilities of the sheep to the elders. I'm going to close by reading a quote, and then we'll take some comments and questions, and then we'll pray. But years ago, when I started trying to read through a sermon a week on Jonathan Edwards, a little bitty fine print, you know, and they were so good. He's such a thinker, had such a high view of God. I came across a sermon from 1746 where he had gone to preach at Samuel Buell's ordination, became an elder, became a pastor. And it's somebody recording the sermon of Edwards in him being put into the office of an elder. It was unbelievable. He's using language, artistic, symbolic language of preparing the bride to meet her groom. And so I probably was reading this similar time frame of when my daughters, you know, I have three daughters, got married 13 months apart. I mean, we get one wedding done, kind of finished, and it's time for another one of those times. But and so, you know, the preparation for each of the girls is they were getting ready to be joined to their husband. That's the picture Jonathan Edwards gives. So I commend it to you. If you have volumes 1 and 2 of the works of Edwards, go find it. It's on page 23 in volume 2, if you want to find the banner version of that, volume 2 page. And so I just grabbed one sentence out of this picture of what a shepherd's really doing as they're preparing you for Jesus Christ. He says, faithful ministers are made the instruments of leading the people of God in the way to heaven, conducting them to the glorious presence of the bridegroom, to the consummate joys of her marriage with the Lamb of God. You hear that? Instruments of leading God's people, conducting them into the presence of the bridegroom, to the ultimate joy of the marriage with the Lamb of God. In a sense, Lee, Matt, Philip, John MacArthur, Spurgeon, his day, simply are trying to bring you along for the infinitely greater union that awaits you in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a glorious picture? I'm telling you, go read the sermon. I was just staggered. It just was so good to me, so helpful to me. So I stopped there. Comments or questions? Yeah, brother.
So as you know, the body grows here. What's the approach as far as, you know, is there a ratio that y'all are targeting, or is there a certain point of where you would that y'all would consider, you know, having a few separate bodies, or, you know, start another, or just add elders, or what?
It's probably a two-part answer. Wonderful question. In a sense, Brother Ron Crisco asked this early on in one of the classes, didn't he? I think maybe class one, the history and purpose of the church. Actually, Ron's question comes to mind. I think two or three of the saints brought it up. Number one, we have to trust the Holy Spirit, since it says in Acts 20:28, the Holy Spirit puts all elders in that place. We have to trust the timing of the distribution of the number, the size of the flock, to the number of the elders. We don't have an exact formula. We've learned by watching some of the other churches that have been around longer than us how they've done that and how they distribute the ministry of elders within the flock. So, Brian, so we're praying in how God gives His will to us, meaning the elders, and then how that's shared with the saints so that the saints would be a part of, yes, we feel like so-and-so, however that God's preparing a man for an elder. That's what we did with Lee Dodd 2 years ago. How many of you were here when before Lee was put in the office? Nobody in this room? Okay. The Gunbys, Jeff, obviously. That's it, isn't it? But there's a process. So it's not an exact formula, but it's more when the needs are evident, when a man is ready, that God confirms it to the elders and to the flock. The second part of that, though, is we're already praying and trying to be sensitive to God may raise up, extend from this church or raise up another church body in a different geographical area. Because we were together as an extended time last Saturday, Mac and Lena, And I brought a map in the room because I'd heard that Tim Conway did this. And we just looked at the region and we looked where the different brethren are. And so it may be that the Holy Spirit wants to eventually add another church somewhere where there could be a local assembly closer. And that God, that there could be hungry souls there already redeemed or sinners that are going to be brought into the kingdom that could be a part of that local church. Does that make sense? So two aspects of how I just answered that. But great question. Important. Other thoughts or questions?
Kind of along the same lines of, you know, shepherding, the Matthew refers to the parity of elders, or those, you know, I guess there's a distinction between the parity and the plurality of elders. Is it the elders' view that is the one pattern of shepherding? I mean, so if there's a single elder, it's not a plurality of elders, do you believe that that's an unbiblical?
We view, and even men that we would know that right now are the only, like Jesse Barrington's the only elder right now. Isn't that correct? That's right. Or maybe, okay, I could be, this is on tape, I don't want to be out of line, but for a long time, Jesse definitely was. For years, Bob Jennings was the only elder at the Sedalia Church. They would have said, the biblical pattern is clearly there needs to be plurality. But in God's wisdom and direction, it did not seem that he had prepared any other men to co-labor with him. Eventually, he did. Clint Leiter became another elder probably, 7, 8, 10 years ago? Yeah. And so the principle of plurality is throughout the Scriptures, and the men that we would know would hold to that, even if they're pastoring alone. They would say, you know, John Green in East Texas for a long time longed for another brother to co-labor with him. Does that help answer that?
Yeah.
Yeah. When we say here, when we say parity or equality, equality in office, different giftings in role and function, but we don't have a senior pastor or the pastor of preaching per se. We believe all of the elders ought to be gifted in teaching and preaching just because of the qualifications, so they ought to be apt to teach. So, Eric, do you have a thought or a question?
Oh, I just had a thought on a single elder. In Titus, it says, for this reason I love to increase that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders and overseers as I directed you. And then gives the qualifications. So there was just Titus.
That's right.
And in time, Paul sitting there to identify and teach and shepherd more elders.
Exactly. That there would be a plural raising up of men. You'll see, like in Lloyd Jones's day and different time periods, you'll see there'll be a man who very much is the preaching pastor, the shepherd or elder. Even the case with MacArthur and Piper and Sproul and those guys. But then they'll have other elders. But they have a different hierarchy of things. And we really believe that the Scripture is talking about men who are shepherding together with one heart. They're in it together, and they have gifts to all teach and preach. So, you know, sometimes they try to build their case around that passage. Those that preach or teach are worthy of double honor, right? Meaning those ought to be the ones you care for, take care of financially. I think you'd have to be careful how you take that passage. All of the shepherds ought to be cared for. All of them ought to be submitted to in the same way. So, thank you all for persevering through the 7 weeks. I've just loved that we got to do this again. It's so practical and so foundational for this church and for any church. You know, the likelihood is 10 years from now, 20 years from now, many of you won't be here. Some of us will be in glory. Who knows where you'll be? 80% of you might be right here. Who knows? There may be 5 other churches God raises up out of this. We don't know. But these truths you'll carry with them all the days of your life in the faith. It'll be rich to you. So let me pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, that in your word, the provision of elders to the flock and the flock to the elders is such a precious thing. I think, Lord, when I read that by Jonathan Edwards, I was just stunned at the depth that he was trying to see it in. And Lord, your word is so precious to us. The Lord Jesus care for his men, for his flock. And then the transfer of that to share that in a sense to make under shepherds. Lord, what a great thing, what a lofty thing, but you're sovereign over it. The church is yours. Lord Jesus, they are yours, purchased with your own precious blood, as Paul said, as it said in many places, they're your flock. So we ask you to build up this bride here, that you'd make us a holy people and a people that love one another, the shepherds to the flock to the sheep, one heart, centered on you, our God, our glorious High Priest. Blessed be your name. Amen.